The Call of Cthulhu Mystery Program is presented by the Nerdy Show Podcast Network, geeky programming for all nerds across the multiverse. All Nerdy Show programming is made possible by A Comic Shop, Orlando's number one comic shop and nerd destination, and with the generous support of listeners like you. To learn how you can support this and other fine geek programming, visit nerdyshow.com.
Do you hear that? In the cruel blackness of night, an unknowable evil from beyond time cries out. What dark deeds unfold on the streets of Arkham? And which unwitting souls, innocent or impure, will succumb to the maddening call? The Call of Cthulhu.
Nerdy Show and Top Hat Cigarettes bring you part 8 of the Call of Cthulhu Mystery Program. Tonight's strange story, Behold the Mother. At the crossroads of glitz and glamour, the only cigarette that satisfies playboys and starlets alike is Top Hat Brand. In fact, actors, athletes, and models all share the same secret to staying young and vivacious. That's right, it's Top Hat Cigarettes. Our premium tobacco blend and unique cold ammonia process ensures that every puff is a pleasure, while simultaneously strengthening your lungs and fighting overindulgence. Just ask Olympic medal winner and world record holder Albina Osipovic.
We swimmers have to keep in strict training. When I first started, a veteran swimmer advised me that smoking Top Hat would help strengthen my breathing. I tried them and found he was right. They're great, and they helped to curb my insatiable sweet tooth. I doubt I could have made the goal without them.
With Top Hat cigarettes, you can win the race and trim your waist. Whenever you're tempted, just reach for a Top Hat. The quest to solve one murder has ended in more death. While investigating the occultist squalor of the Hetfield estate, Father Grandfather stumbled upon a plot to conjure forth the mother of Puss, a horrifying being beyond the realm of human comprehension. There, in that rotting house, he came face to face with a demon spawn and saved his housemates with his own brand of fiery justice. Baffled by the unexplainable horrors they've borne witness to, Sam, Hank, Dolores, and Cyril return to Arkham tasked with no less than trying to foil the coming end times.
Drive back to Arkham. By then it's late as fuck. You guys don't really know what you're doing, so I'm guessing you guys are gonna kind of like read over everything in a panic, try to figure out what's happening. Our intrepid book dealer Dolores is gonna go back to the library.
Here, I'll cross-reference them.
Okay. You read through some creepy damn books, cross-referencing it.
An extract from De Vermis Mysteries. Watch not the stalkers, nor seek to know the spawn of the woods, for the tainted wellspring which gives them birth cares not for the intruder. Mark well what fate befell Orpheus when the daughters of Dionysus came upon him and deep in the woods. The black goat of the woods spawns and spawns again, but there shall come a time when her spawn shall come from a human womb, two who were one, and the child of those children shall be the mother of Puss. And all the world shall tremble beneath her hooves, she who is the ender of ages.
The other one is.
An extract from the Book of Abon. Time is not constant, nor is the future unchangeable. I have seen the coming of the Daemon Sultan Seed, and also the day the oceans vomit forth the citadels of the Elder Ones, when the stars shift in their patterns and the dead live again. I have seen the Empire of Atlantia, not yet born, fall to the reign of years, and those kingdoms which wax and wane in her shadow. Serpent-haunted Styga, Aquilonia, Egypt, and Rome. Mark well what I have seen, for those are the signs of the last days, which foretell the return of those who dream and die, not the slouch of the beast, the rising of the corpse city, the hot kiss of the mother of pus, the return of the harbinger and maker, and end of all songs.
So after a day of reading all of these terrible prophecies, now that you've seen signs that they may be true, you lose 6 points of sanity.
Good thing I have like 1,000 points of sanity.
Dolores, you find some information about the children of Shub-Niggurath, known as the Dark Young of the Woods. Apparently, you have found something for calling them forth from the woods and binding them to your everlasting will.
Oh, that sounds handy.
Apparently, it requires the sacrifice of a rather large-sized animal. Like deer.
Would the animals in the yard have looked like big enough for that?
Didn't look like that, no.
But there were plenty of them.
Yeah. From what you read, it needs to be more of a ritual sacrifice, not so much as an eating and killing random things.
Okay. You know what? We should summon one of these.
When you bind something to you, you are likewise tied to it as well.
Oh.
It's like handcuffs. You cuff one person, you're also cuffing yourself to that person.
If we
Maybe she already did it. Was there a description of them?
Well, supposedly they're kind of very vague in terms of the descriptions of them. Supposedly they are the trees that move and hunters of flesh. They grow forth from her teats to feed upon the lesser races.
Oh, lovely.
One thing you know, though, in everything you've read about this, if this had happened, this whole Mother of Pus thing, you'd probably know about it, because this is, if any of those prophecies are true, this is something that would be instantly recognizable.
Yeah.
We're talking, like, you know, mass suicides, cats and dogs living together, total anarchy. So, you guys, cross-referencing everything, I'm guessing you're going to spend some time, Cyril, and are you going to try to learn that song?
Yeah, man, if I feel like I can do something with it, it's nagging me. It's like itching like cockroaches in my brain. I've been trying to, you know, take a couple pills to make it go away, but it's kind of...
So you spend all day with it.
Shub-Niggurath. Shub-Niggurath! Man! God damn.
And you're noticing there's just something missing. Like, it feels like the universe is eating away at your brain. Roll D10. Just one of those. You lose two points of sanity as you try to wrap your mind around this impossible song. So, meanwhile, the rest of you guys have all spent pretty much all of the day trying to figure out what this means. And... What
I am going to Father's room and looking for Bibles.
Okay.
I am building an arsenal.
You find a bullwhip.
Okay, don't want that.
Outside of that, you find a pipe bomb.
Taking it.
And a garrote wire.
It could be useful, okay.
And it looks like he's actually built a pre-made Molotov cocktail kit.
Oh, I have a bottle of corn liquor.
Like, well... There's actually, like, one of the Bibles, a big-ass heavy Bible, is cored out. Inside is what looks like probably a bottle of moonshine, and then a prayer rag and a lighter.
Okay.
It's already ready already.
Yeah, I'm going to duplicate that with my own bottle of liquor that I got from...
Okay.
Now I have two Molotov cocktails, bomb, garrote, and a bullwhip. It sounds like a party.
So, you guys spend the day preparing in your various ways. Hank Jr., you up to anything? Are you just going to clean your rifle
and contemplate your life choices?
I
probably went up with Sam to check for more arsenal stuff.
Okay.
But if you feel comfortable handling the bomb, sir, then I'll just take care of my own stuff. But I can't even begin to read any of that gobbledygook.
So, are we all in agreement that horrible monster baby hatched out of Hannah. And it is some kind of prelude to her mom doing a ritual that's gonna bring the end of the world. Shub-Niggurath, yeah. Yeah, right?
As you read over the notes again, you, like, looking over it, suddenly something kind of clicks for you. You realize, when you guys have had a long day, and it's hard to tell, but when you notice she says something about going back to Arkham, that she was going to go somewhere amid all of the awful and decay, and two of you, Hank and Agent Spade, remember a place full of awful and decay.
Well, you know, he's got a bunch of that boom boom juice, so let's go head that way.
Yeah, by now it's late at night on the 17th.
Yeah, so we're heading over there.
Time is a waste, and look, you guys got any guns for me?
Yeah. Oh, no, sorry.
All right, see you later.
But I have pipe bombs and Molotov cocktails, garrote, and a bullwhip.
Because those are less dangerous than guns.
I'm going to find a length of pipe, and I'm going to take the pipe bombs.
Okay.
And the bullwhip.
Okay.
And I guess we're going out to the dump.
So you guys drive out there in Miss Delaney's delightful automobile. By the time you guys get out there, it's probably around 10:30 or so, getting pretty late. You guys have kind of spent a lot of time trying to figure out what's happening before you could realize where or why. You think maybe there may have been something that may have hinted at that.
This is where she was found, like not too far from the dump anyway.
That's correct.
So maybe she was on her way to the dump.
The only place that thing would have gone to hide would have been inside that pit. We walked the dump and didn't find any signs of anything. So,
well, as you guys make your way out to the dump, I'm guessing are you guys just gonna drive the car straight out there, or
we're gonna get fairly close,
and then you're gonna walk there sneaky?
No, that's no point. Okay. I heard the car coming.
Okay, so you drive the car out, hooting and hollering, pull up in front of the dump. There's the area that is fenced off. To the side of that is the groundskeeper's cottage, and then a little south of that is this big nasty pit. For those of you who were here before, it stinks worse than usual.
Okay, first thing I'm going to do, I'm going to light my pipe.
Okay.
And I'm going to throw the pipe into the pit.
Okay. I mean, you're pretty far away. It's a big pit, so you hurl it out there, and it makes a little splash, and then there's a much, much, much bigger splash.
Is that a pipe or a pipe bomb?
That was a pipe. I wanted to see pipe. if there was gasoline, oil, some things like that sitting in that water. If it was, poof. If not, then I didn't waste the pipe bomb or Molotov cocktail or Model A.
Ran up, put a shinola in that pit.
Why a bigger splash?
I mean, bigger splash.
Yeah.
Like a dolphin, but there's no way a dolphin could be in that pool.
Ew.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so we have a couple of options.
Crash dolphin.
Yeah. How long is that whip, and how deep is that pit?
The pit's big. I mean, it's hundreds of feet across. Like, I mean, it's, you know, probably about 2 football fields long.
I have an excellent idea. There's a farmer up the road with a telephone, and we call the police and say that we found another dead body inside of this thing, and we think the killer is hiding in here, and they come here with a bunch of guns.
We could just blow it up, too.
I don't know if the pipe bomb is going to be big enough to blow that pit up.
2 football fields, yeah.
Everybody roll a listen check.
I failed that with 100.
Awesome.
I don't know what... my listen is at 25%?
Yep.
My listen is 74, and I rolled an 89.
Okay, so you fail?
So...
You failed? You made it, though, with a 3 out of 25? Okay. Yeah. So they're all busy arguing, and you've been kind of quiet generally in the whole thing, as, you know, doing your farmhand thing, and you're kind of standing back, and you hear noise coming from down near the pit, down near the water line. You can't tell exactly where it is because there's a lot of echo bouncing around, but it actually reminds you a lot of hearing Cyril sing that terrible song. But it's not really, it's not as sing-songy. It's more of a faint chant. You can barely make it out.
Okay, I'd be like, hush, Oh, shut up. I'm gonna try and tell him as quickly and as quietly as possible. Like, you all gotta shut up. I hear something. Listen. I'm gonna try and get them to listen.
Yeah, you guys all silence, and you guys can faintly hear it as well. Something down by that pit. It's a sounds like a female voice.
I'm gonna look through the scope of my rifle and start scanning and try and see what I can see.
Yeah, black coat. That's why it's so nice. I think
it wants a duet.
Most times I'd oblige a duet, but I think we should just blow it up. I mean, ain't no good come from those words. It's like ants in my brain.
All right, throw a pipe bomb down there.
Can I try, if I'm looking with my rifle, can mm-hmm. I try a spot hidden to see if I see words?
Yeah, go ahead. I mean, it's dark out though, so.
Yeah, I guess, yeah, that's tough.
I mean, you'd probably want to get closer, but, you know, if chances are with your arguing, whoever's down there probably heard you. Because you didn't hear the chanting start up until the rest of the group is arguing.
I'm gonna come up all smiling and waving. Hey, Hillary! Praise Shub-Niggurath!
As you say that, you hear a counterpoint of a wailed Shub-Niggurath! And as that happens, there is a terrible peal of lightning across the sky. Lightning usually isn't green. Pretty quickly, you guys see strange clouds kind of forming and racing, covering the moon over the area. A chill wind blows, and all of a sudden, coming out of the wind from the west of you guys is a sickening reek of just rot and body odor. And all of a sudden, kind of blowing out of almost like nothing, you just see papers and things flying from that end of the dump. And then growing from nowhere is a massive gaseous form that congeals into a rotting, bulbous entity of some kind, covered in mouths and hooves and claws. As this giant drooling shape, it looks like something out of a nightmare, and it only grows larger, spewing slime out of different orifices.
Is this coming out of the sky or coming out of the pit?
Neither. It's kind of coming from the west, kind of towards the pit, almost out of nowhere. As this thing congeals into existence, everybody roll sanity. This one's fine.
29.
Is that a make? You lose D10 sanity.
Holy shit.
This thing, by the way, is approximately the size of a skyscraper.
Fun. I rolled a 40 out of 46.
Oh, so you made it. So, D10. How'd you do, Bookworm?
58 out of 68.
Oh, you made it. So, D10.
Yep.
I made it, so I guess
D10. Yep.
What would have happened if we had failed?
D100.
Holy shit.
I got a 0 is 10, right?
Oh yes, that is 10. So you are temporarily insane.
Shub-Niggurath!
Okay, so he begins chanting in elation, and Agent Speed reaches out and
No, that was out of character.
Okay, so did anybody else lose 5 sanity or more?
I lost 7.
I lost five, exactly.
So everybody is temporarily insane in some fashion. So let's go around and explain what's going through your mind right now. Hank Jr.
Since it's just like the size of a skyscraper and everything.
Yeah.
I guess I would either freak out and just like fall to the ground and just be staring in horror, or I would probably just pass out.
Okay, it's nap time for the farm boy. Cyril, you've been reading about this. That's the black goat. That is Shub-Niggurath herself.
Yeah, yes it is.
You're destined for a duet with her. You suddenly realize that's what this is about. Speaking of which, all of you guys have lost 5 points or more. You guys automatically gain 5 Cthulhu mythos from the knowledge that only insanity can reveal.
So by gaining, they subtract 99?
Yeah.
Okay, so.
I mean, that's usually not relevant for your max. So, yeah, this is who you were going to be singing with. I don't know if you want to embrace her.
I've been a caged bird, pent up with all my talents, wasted on no good band members who just didn't understand my art. And here is the black goat, queen of pus, and of the entire world. And I'm gonna sing, and I'm gonna I'm gonna take all my pills and I'm gonna sing.
Yeah, I might shoot him. Okay, so I guess saying then, Agent Spade, you're going into a homicidal mania.
No, free. It's not homicidal. That's very calculated.
Well, you're not calculating at this point.
But you lost your
sanity as well.
Desperate.
So, desperate, you're just gonna run at it and fire?
No, no, I'm gonna fire at him.
Okay.
Shout the girl, yeah.
Okay, so.
Yeah.
See, that would be why.
Okay, so you're gonna just shoot him relentlessly and then eat his body.
What?
You're insane! Come on, man. Give me some insanity. What are you doing to him that's insane?
Oh. I gotta grow up.
Okay. Okay, so you're gonna try to.
I don't want him to sing. Yeah. I mean,
you're holding the gun out. Then,
yeah, I'll shoot him.
Foaming at the mouth from pills. Yeah. Pipe bomb as my microphone.
Okay, next is, so how are you doing, Miss Delaney?
I will rip out a chunk of my hair and shove it in my ear so that I cannot hear that singing anymore.
Oh, that's good. It suddenly things are a little quieter. You're feeling better, safer. But you think maybe the one thing that would be better than hair would be a blood ring. For some reason, that makes sense.
I can make blood happen in my ears.
Yeah, that feels right. That
pulls
feels
out
right.
A little baby Derringer.
Okay, so again, as Shub-Niggurath appeared, or just before she appeared, rather, Hillary Hatfield popped up from behind her hiding place to exalt her dark god. What are you guys up to? Singing away?
Singing my heart out.
Singing too?
Well, she has just kind of finished her adulation. Looks like she's starting to sing. What type of song are you doing? Are you singing to stop this or to make it happen?
I assume Hillary. Hillary is singing to make it happen.
You're a better singer than her.
I am. I'm gonna sing the best version of those crazy words that have been burning a hole in the back of my skull. And to get him out, we're gonna make the burning stop.
Well, the version that she's singing is harder to do. That's better technically. But the one you've been practicing is all about making everything better, making everything chill. But it doesn't quite have the artistic flair.
She lacks the artistry, is what you're saying.
Yeah.
Right. Right.
Are you gonna sing her version of the song, or are you gonna sing the version you've been practicing?
The version of my heart.
Okay. So you sing away. Roll your sing.
I got a 92. My singing is 88.
Okay. So you're kind of catching on the words. You're having a little bit of performance anxiety, and then all of a sudden, a gun barrel is placed against your head. Agent Spade.
What do I gotta roll?
Roll double skill real quick, because we want to see if you impale. And, like, you know, shoot him in the brainstem as opposed to maybe in the jaw.
Shove the gun through his head and then shoot.
So, yeah, roll double your pistol skill. So, 80, so 160. Okay, what'd you get?
43.
Okay, 32, so no. So, you shoot him, but you're having trouble holding him straight because everything you believed is a lie. And you graze the side of his head for, what was it, 3 damage? Yeah. So yeah, you've got a bloody head wound, but you're able to keep singing.
I don't even feel it. I took so many pills.
So, Miss Delaney, what are you up to?
I have my derringer in my ears because I'm going to blow out the sound.
Okay. Are you making that happen, or are you just...
I'm going to make that happen.
Okay.
Because why not?
Oh, you don't need to roll. You know where to put it. So
yeah.
You put it right through your ear, and the singing goes away, and you feel better. And now, Hank, you're having a terrible dream. Your skin is erupting in sores, and you're drowning in your own pus. Meanwhile, Cyril, you're singing your heart out again. Make another sing roll.
63 out of 88.
So this entire time, Shub-Niggurath, the black goat of the woods, this giant entity, has been singing in harmony with Miss Hatfield. And all of a sudden, you kind of hit your stride, and you notice slightly that all of a sudden, all of that singing changes, and it's now singing in harmony with you.
Yes!
Yes!
Agent Spade.
Alright, I have control of my actions now. Or
no, you're still insane.
I'm still insane. Yeah,
what kind of gun do you have? Got a 38?
Yeah.
Okay, take 2 shots. Remember, double skill again. So, 32 or better is an impale.
Okay. Oh, alright. So, well, then I need to impale.
Okay, still.
3 points. Not either. 8 points.
So 8, 9, 10, 11 damage more to Cyril, who is shot repeatedly in the head, and I'm guessing is probably deep into debt at this point.
What is that?
Off your hit points.
I'm at 9, so that was yeah.
not so good now.
So Cyril sings away, and with his make a luck roll.
34 okay. out of 55.
So with a with your last dying breath, the pitch squeals even higher in Shub-Niggurath's singing, and then all of a sudden everything goes black for you. Is for some reason you're unable to think anymore because your brain is no longer intact. Now the last person conscious, Agent Spade, he's dead, but he's still responsible for this. So you continue to pump your bullets into him. As you do, you hear a howling of, "No! My child!" As Miss Hetfield screams madly, all of a sudden you turn your head and you see rising from the putrid pit of water in the middle of the dump a massive tentacled beast. Roll sanity.
Six.
Okay, so you made it, so that's not terrible. You lose D6 sanity. At this point, I mean, you're already pretty insane, but that doesn't really bother you all much. And this giant creature that has just risen up from the water, this mass of flailing tentacles and mouth, grows larger and larger and larger until it bursts in a puddle of reeking putrescence. Miss Hetfield howls in anguish. The Shub-Niggurath singing cuts away, and the black goat slowly begins to evaporate into nothingness. You begin to come to your senses as this happens, and you look around. Two of your cohort are dead, and an additional one seems to be unconscious on the ground. Your gun is empty. Miss Hetfield is charging up the dump towards you, howling in anger.
I pick up his rifle.
Okay, taking up the rifle, taking aim at her.
No, I'm keeping it ready though. I'm waiting for her. I'm not very good for the rifle, so I'm gonna wait till she gets as close as possible.
You pick up that rifle, and as she's running at you, she stops and then dives behind a Model T, an old rusted out Model T, and then begins to howl and chant.
Yeah, Shub-Niggurath, you trusted Zephlas.
Molotov cocktail lighter.
Make a throw skill.
Oh, I just walk up and toss it right onto the car.
Oh, you walk
up. I just walk up to it, okay. Toss it right at the car.
She's not a weapon, okay. Right? It's like
as you walk down towards her, she gets up from behind the car and goes, "Yeah, Shub-Niggurath, yeah!" and points at you, and go ahead and hurl that Molotov cocktail. You're right next to her, so double skill.
95.
Okay. So you hurl the Molotov cocktail, and she moves her head a little and splashes behind her. All of a sudden, your skin is itching terribly, and you look down, and you've got all these red welts on you that are growing larger and larger. It looks like they're beginning to burst open and ooze blood and pus. What are you up to now?
I'm going to take this bitch down with me. I'm just going to grab her and tackle her right to the fire.
Okay. So you grab her and then tackle her back. Make a grapple roll. 25 is the base. I'm gonna give you double though because she is old and is kind of concentrated on.
32.
Okay, so you grab her and you tackle her backwards. All of a sudden, as you grab her and tackle her into the fire, your wounds are just streaming pus and it's so disgusting. You find yourself just vomiting all over her face as she screams obscenities at you. And then pretty quickly, the two of you land in the blashed out pool of flaming high-proof alcohol, and both of you guys go up in flames. Her just burning to death, you burning as all of your organs liquefy and pour out of your skin. Hank Jr., you awake. Cyril's lying next to you, dead of multiple gunshot wounds.
Oh, shit. That's all I can think. It's like, giant monster, terrible nightmare, wake up. Friend is dead. Like,
Dolores Delaney is dead as well. She's got one wound to the head and is gripping a danger in her hand.
I try to reach for my rifle, but it's not there.
Yep. Roll sanity. Everyone you know in town is dead.
34 out of 74.
Okay, you take it pretty well, despite you know, other things. Huh. Eventually, you look around and you see there's a burning a little inferno over near the pit. And looking over, there are two bodies in it. Roasting away.
Embraced.
Yeah.
And I'm gonna, at that point, I'm gonna take my wood axe, which has been tied to me, like, on this, like...
Yeah, yeah, around your back.
So I'm gonna get that, and I guess, do I see my rifle? Do I see
Yeah, you see it over by the burning bodies.
Is it, like, in the fire?
Or? No, it's to the... It's...
All right, Hank's gonna very carefully be looking at everything. Everything is suspect. Everything is completely crazy, but he's gonna carefully approach, keeping the wood axe ready, and try and grab that rifle. Eyes constantly in fear looking around.
You grab it, and from the burning clothes, you recognize one of the bodies in the fire as Agent Sam Spade.
I just go, "Oh, Sam, what'd you do?"
Tell my story, bro.
All right, and I check the chamber, and I'm ready.
It hasn't been fired much, so you look around, everything's eerily quiet.
Do I? I don't know. It's like, I didn't see anything happen. Literally, world is ending, nightmare, and now I'm here. I don't know if I'm the only person on Earth left alive. I don't know anything. What's the pool doing?
It stinks terribly. Death and feces. It's absolutely awful. It's every terrible smell combined.
Where do I see the pipe bomb?
Looking around, going back up near the other bodies of your friends, you see it lying to the side of Cyril.
Okay.
Looks like he was gripping it in one hand.
Okay, I'm going to get that for sure. I'm going to his lighter matches, whatever, ready to get this. Just so I just want to be ready for anything, because I literally don't know anything that's happened.
Yeah, you grab out a lighter. Okay, so you've got lighter in one hand, pipe bomb in the other.
All right. I remember that Sam threw his pipe in. So I'm going to try and get, like, any piece of junk and throw it in there just to see if there's any reaction, see what happens.
Doesn't seem to be. You throw it in, and there's a nice placid splash. Looking around, as you wander around looking at things a little more closely, it's dark, trying to figure out what's going on. You see there are corpses of animals all around this place. Like, they looks like they've all just died around the water's edge.
Y'all put me in an awkward situation.
Oh, I'm so sorry. We saved the
world. No. It's true. I'm afraid to just walk away if there's something still here. But
just hold the pipe bomb out and just say "secrets out."
I mean, basically looking over.
So what I think we're gonna do just to be safe, because I don't know.
Well, looking at Spade's body again, you notice the body that he's embraced with looks like it was probably used to be a woman.
Right. And I knew I heard a woman saying the chant and everything else. So what I'm gonna do, just to be safe, is I'm just gonna light the pipe bomb, toss it in the pool of all that pus and craziness, and run for cover.
Okay.
And see what happens.
You hurl it in there, and I mean, it's a big pool, so it's not a problem. Well, we'll make you roll, see if this unreliable preacher's pipe bomb doesn't just go off and kill you.
So this is just to see if it even just goes.
Yeah, so see if you get 100.
The son of a bitch is gonna. I'm gonna roll 100, and it's gonna all be that preacher's fault.
Okay. So yeah, you're fine. Okay. You hurl that pipe bomb into the water, and it goes off, and there's a nice splash. A couple of dead animal bodies are hurled out of the water, but that's it.
Then I'm gonna walk out of the dump to that farmer's place, knock on his door, and get on the phone and call the authorities.
Just throw his door open, make the call.
No, I mean, well, I'm gonna knock and see if he answers. And if he doesn't answer, then I'm going in anyway. So either way.
Like. You knock. He answers the door, sobbing. He's like, "Oh, my dog's gone. I don't know what happened to it. You okay, man? Can I help you?"
I say, "I ain't got time to explain." But some awful's happened, and I need to use your phone. Please step aside, and I go in.
You look very purposeful, and he's not willing to challenge you.
And whoever picks it up, I'm just gonna tell them everything. Just tell them they need to get down here and explain. And I'll explain it all when they get here. I just tell them that there's been there's four people dead, and it's all by the dump, and there's been shots fired, and just, I don't tell them anything crazy. I tell them,
you
get them down there.
So, cops show up. Cops take you away, and put you in jail because, all of your known associates are dead of gunshot wounds and immolation. So it looks pretty bad. Also, apparently, they find out that one of your associates also stole a mail truck and then appeared to have killed himself in some sort of explosion in a town not too far away.
I'll tell them straight up everything that happened. at least everything that I saw.
Well, you're pretty sure you've managed to stop the spawn as you sit in jail, so you feel nice and contented.
Now, do I have a court date?
Well, they are trying you with the murder of four people.
Why am I being charged with murder?
Because all of these people were killed and you were carrying a rifle.
I suppose, but I think it's pretty obvious that one has a rifle full of bullets that hasn't been fired, and it's a different caliber weapon. Even a farmhand knows that. Plus, I believe that I got some good credit in good standing with the people of Arkham.
Make a credit roll, rating roll.
Aw, piss. That's the highest roll I've done tonight, basically. No, it's no good. That's out of 70.
Don't worry, son. I may be a simple country lawyer, but I can get you off. Listen, we're just gonna say you did it and that you're sorry. It's gonna be fine. And this guy, he knows what he's talking about. He's a lawyer, so you trust him. And
I got no way to argue.
And that's when you go to the penitentiary. But it's okay, because on the inside, you know that you stopped the end of the world.
Yeah, as long as I know, it's like, hey, look, I know shit.
Eventually, they release you on a mistrial, but it takes about a year.
Oh, that ain't so bad. Being in prison is pretty bad.
Really optimistic.
I mean, well, I ain't dead in a dump. It's like it's...
Dateline, Arkham, Massachusetts, November 14th, 1928. Hank O'Brien Jr., the 21-year-old charged in the bizarre multiple homicides that took place at the Arkham City dump this past April, is a free man. Four were found dead in what would be described as a nightmare scene of bloodshed and conflagration. Three of the deceased were associates of O'Brien, including a former federal agent and a local business owner. O'Brien's testimony claimed they had been asked by an Arkham police detective to undertake a private investigation into a grisly murder that took place just days earlier, near to this very crime scene. This claim has been refuted by the Arkham City Police Department. However, in his plea for innocence, character witnesses said the young man had good standing in the community and couldn't possibly have been a killer. After several months in the Essex County Penitentiary, a judge has declared a mistrial due to the highly unusual nature of the proceedings. Does a murderer walk among us, or has an innocent man been set free? Either way, the brutal nature of what transpired that night will surely weigh heavily on O'Brien for the rest of his days. Conclusion to the Call of Cthulhu Mystery Program. It's been quite a ride. Stay tuned for our next fan-chosen one-shot campaign, Star Wreck, coming in 2016. And if this show has whet your appetite for more radio drama adventures, look no further than our ongoing RPG series, Dungeons & Doritos, Ghostbusters Resurrection, and Pokeballs of Steelix, as well as our sci-fi audio drama, Liberty Critical Research. You can find them all at nerdyshow.com, on all their individual feeds, as well as our new feed for all our dramatic podcasts, Nerdy Show Theater, at nerdyshow.com/theater. Since this is the last time you'll hear from me, well, at least for now, it would behoove me to mention that all of our programming here on the Nerdy Show Network is entirely listener-supported. So, if you enjoyed this program and would like to hear more like it, please consider tossing some coin our way via Patreon. You can find more info at nerdyshow.com/support. You can also support the efforts of our incredible music staff, Ryan and Mike McQuinn, by paying what you want for the Call of Cthulhu Mystery Program score on Nerdy Show's Bandcamp. And you can always spread the horror around by telling a friend or rating and reviewing the show on iTunes. Playing us out this evening is a rather curious recording from an Appalachian musician called Ramblin' Randolph Carter. As it's been told to me, this mountain man claims to have traveled into another realm in his dreams, and has seen beautiful and horrible things. Folks thought him mad, raving about these dream quests of his, but when they heard his songs, well, madman or not, the haunting beauty of his music is undeniable. A producer got him in the studio with some accompaniment, and here we are. Listening to this song, I can't help but wonder, is this man truly mad? Perhaps a dope fiend? Or has he borne witness to things that we can scarcely imagine? Things we forget as soon as our consciousness returns upon waking. Perhaps you've met him in your own nightly journeys. Or perhaps you'll recognize the strange creatures he sings of. This is The Carpet Crawlers by Ramblin' Randolph Carter.
There is lamb's wool under my naked feet. The wool is soft and warm, gives off some kind of heat. A salamander scurries into flame to be destroyed. Imaginary creatures are trapped in birth on celluloid. The fleas cling to the golden fleece, hoping they'll find peace. Each thought and gesture are caught in celluloid. But there's no hiding in my memory. There's no room to avoid. The crawlers cover the floor in the red ochre corridor. Form a second side of people. Carpet
Thanks for listening to the Call of Cthulhu Mystery Program. If you like what you heard, please rate and review us on iTunes, like and follow us on SoundCloud, or give your feedback at nerdyshow.com/survey. Episode 8, Behold the Mother, was performed by Kalen Boehm, Doug Banks, Cap Blackett, Rule Knudsen, Brendan Gerson, and Game Master Luke Stram. It was edited and produced by Colin Peterson and Cap Blackett. Original score was composed and performed by Ryan McQuinn and Mike McQuinn, and is available on Nerdy Show's Bandcamp. This campaign is based on Behold the Mother, from the Call of Cthulhu module, Dead Reckonings, published by Chaosium Incorporated. All characters appearing are fictitious, and any resemblance to real persons living or dead is purely coincidental. You can find character sheets, bios, and other bonus content at nerdyshow.com/Cthulhu. The Call of Cthulhu Mystery Program and all programs on the Nerdy Show Network are made possible by the support of listeners like you. Join us on Patreon and receive outtakes, early releases, and other bonus content. Just head to nerdyshow.com/support. To find out how you or your company could underwrite this or other Nerdy Show programming, visit nerdyshow.com/sponsorships. And don't forget, you can also help fund the Nerdy Show Network by shopping on Amazon. Just head to nerdyshow.com/Amazon for more details. This has been the Call of Cthulhu Mystery Program. Good night.